Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, give me just a moment. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke, excuse me, chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Stand with me, if you would, for the reading of the Word tonight. Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 1. The Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Brother Feld, turn thanks this evening. Pray, would you? Everybody said, in Jesus' name, you can be seated. I want to talk to you tonight for just a few moments about end time praying in the end times. I want to ask you a question tonight, church. Everyone in here, I want you to close your eyes for just a moment. And I want to ask you a question. If you knew, I want you to go in your mind's eye with me. If you knew Jesus was coming in a week. Now, you don't have to answer this. I don't want nobody to raise your hands or jump up and run out or anything like that. If you knew that Jesus was coming in a week, what would you change in your life today? Now, I want you to just dwell on that for a moment. And I want you to seriously consider this. Touch our heart tonight, Lord. Touch our hearts, Father. Now, I want to ask you another question. Stay with me. If you knew Jesus was coming at midnight tonight, this day, what would you change in your life right now, today? I want you to seriously consider this. I want you to really think about this. I mean it. Now look at me. Now I want to ask you this question. Were the answers the same? Or was there a bit of procrastination in the area where there was still a week's time left? We always seem to do things last minute. Am I the only one? Am I the only one that sometimes waits till the last minute to do things? What if I had said, if you knew Jesus was coming in a year? Church, the Bible talks about 7 years being as a week. I want to tell you right now, that is more than possible. The Lord returning in less than 7 years. It's very possible. Very possible. I know that we've heard for thousands of years, He's coming back. He's coming soon. But I'm here to tell you right now, unless the Lord takes you by way of the grave, very soon you will be alive. You will go into heaven alive if you're ready to meet Him. The Bible says, when you see the fig leaves tender, then you know summer is nigh at hand. We know that we are in the generation right now. There's no doubt about it. But I want to go a step further, and I want to get your focus off of the rapture. Because too many of us are looking to the rapture, saying, it's yet a little ways off. So let's look at the Bible tonight. Let's look at some scripture. The Bible says, turn with me over to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. The Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Now you just stop and think about this. Now remember, the Bible says, as in the days of Noe, as in the days of Noe, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. They were giving in marriage. They were marrying and giving in marriage. They were eating and drinking. They were having a big time. They were going on like there was not a problem or a care in the world until the day that Noah and his family went into the ark and the door was shut. Now, there's a lot of people that believe that we're going to be in a pre-tribulation rapture, but I'm telling you, that's just not biblical. At very best, it's going to be a mid-trib rapture. We are not above the apostles that went through tribulation unto their death. But understand this, they say, well, the Bible says it's going to be as the days of Noe. And this is not what the message is tonight, but I want to give you, just drop a little thought in your mind, because I'm a Bible man and I want you to be thinking about Bible. It's all Bible. It ain't never me, as I've often said. Never take my word for it. Always go to the Bible. But now listen, the Bible says it will be as in the days of Noah. So understand that Noah did escape that. Yes, he went through a lot of tribulation and all that, but the Bible says he escaped it. Yes, he did. But if you look at, they're missing the main part of the story. Immediately after Noah went in the ark, immediately the rest of the world was destroyed completely. Immediately. There was no 3.5-year span there. There was no 7-year span there before God came and destroyed the rest of the world. It was immediate, just like that. And then look at another scenario, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. As soon as they were delivered out of that city, immediately fire fell from heaven and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. There was no 3.5-year span. There was no 7-year span. It happened immediately. So I tell you, the more I study this and the more I've been looking into this, as well as many of my colleagues have been doing the same thing, and saying, for a long time there, years and years ago, I was thinking, well, maybe a pre-tribulation rapture, boy, would sure be great. And then I started looking at Scripture, and so I know it could not possibly be until a mid-trib. And now I'm even moving more towards a post-tribulation, which is going to be a tough thing to endure. Nevertheless, either way, we need to be prepared. We must be prepared either way, no matter what happens. But understand this. The Bible says in verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, it had never rained on the face of the earth, at the time Noah built the ark. It had never rained. Everything was watered from the earth. The earth gave forth a dew. If you look in the Garden of Eden, it'll tell you how that the plants and things were watered. It was watered from the earth. There came a watering up from the earth. Very interesting reading. But it says here, that's what it's talking about when it says, as being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now understand this. Here's a man that God comes down and he says, listen, build a boat in the middle of the desert. You're miles and miles from any ocean. You're miles and miles from any sea. You're miles and miles from any body of water. But I want you to build this great big ship in the middle of the desert. There's clouds going to form over you, and it's going to rain, and a big flood's coming. It's going to wipe everybody out except for you and your family, and you're going to build this boat to the saving of your household. Now listen to this. This had never happened before. He had to take God's word for it. He had to take an act, and the Bible said he moved with fear. Church, there's not enough people in this world left that are moving with fear. People have lost their fear of God. And I want to tell you right now, when you lose your fear of God, you are in a dangerous, dangerous place. I tell you right now, the Bible says, fear not man. You know, a lot of people, you see them walking around and they dodging things and they're scared of their creditors. And they're scared of the police officers. And they're scared of a bunch of hoodlums out here. They're scared of a bunch of drug heads and gangbangers and all that kind of stuff. But they're not scared of the Lord God Almighty. The Bible says, I tell you, fear not man who can only but kill the body, but rather fear me, praise God, who can not only kill the body, but can put your soul in hell. This life's a vapor. Just like that, it's here and gone. But I tell you right now, you're going to spend eternity somewhere. And it's going to come very soon. I know some of you young folks might say, well, I'm not too keen on all that. Yeah, you will be. If you're ready to go, you're going to be very keen on it. You ain't never lived till you live with Jesus, praise God, in the kingdom of God forever and ever and ever and ever, praise God. No problems, no headaches, no more sickness, no sore throats, no loss of voice, praise God. Going to be wonderful, praise the Lord. He moved with fear and he prepared an ark. Now, to the saving of his household. Now, I told some of y'all here just a while back, they've been looking for that ark for years. I found it. I found Noah's ark. Yes, I did. I found it. If you'll just look in the mirror, you'll see it. You are Noah's ark. You are the same thing as Noah's ark. God is building you. You are preparing a house. You are preparing an ark to the saving of your household. Praise God. You are building an ark to the saving of your household. The Lord said, it's coming. I'm coming back for a people who have made themselves ready, who have washed themselves in the blood of the Lamb and made their robes white as snow. Praise God. Now understand what it said. He said, I'm coming back after a people who have made themselves white in the blood of the Lamb. Don't wait for God to come down here and clean you up. The Bible said you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to submit yourself. You're going to have to get in where the cleaning is done, praise God. You know where the cleaning is done? The cleaning is done at the altar. The cleaning is done on your knees in the bedroom of your house or driving down the road with tears. People probably think I've lost my mind sometimes driving down the road. I don't care what people think. Tears will be running down my face. I'll be crying out to the Lord. They probably think that poor fella's lost a loved one or something. But you know, sometimes that, you know, sometimes you just get in the presence of the Lord and He just begins to you get pricked in your heart and it's just sometimes I don't care where I'm at, praise God, I just love to spend time with the Lord. And church, you can make an altar anywhere that you're at. Anywhere that you're at. Praise the Lord. You know, we need to be moving with fear. The Lord told you He's coming back. He's coming soon and very soon. And we need to be preparing ourselves. And we need to be preparing our families and waking them up. Church, this ain't just about you. This is not just about you. I'm telling you right now, you are here tonight in this house hearing this word tonight. You are ordained of God to hear this message tonight. There's something God wanted to say to you tonight. That's the reason that every one of you are here tonight. Praise God. Now, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know the one that holds it. Praise God. Praise God. You know, I want to ask you another question. How many of you are, I don't want nobody lifting their hands up because I don't want to know. It's none of my business. That's between you and the Lord. Unless you make it my business. I'm always here for anybody that needs anything from me or the Lord or whatever. I'm here to help anyone. That's my job and that's my passion. But I want to ask you a question. How many of you are really living? I mean this now. I want you to really be honest with yourself. Not with me. Because it's not up to me. I can't get you to heaven, church. I can't get you to heaven. I can't get you to heaven. No more than that box right there can get you to heaven. But I'm here to tell you that word right there can get you to heaven. That word can get you home. That's the map. But I want to ask you a question tonight. Are you living? Are you living like Jesus is coming next week? Are you really living like Jesus is coming next week? Are you really living? Are you living like He could come tonight before midnight? Are you really living like He could come tonight if He came tonight at midnight? Are you absolutely certain that you're ready to go? Have you laid down everything? Have you submitted yourself completely to the Lord? Have you given and sold out to God? Have you turned it all over to Jesus? I mean that. Have you really, really given yourself to the Lord? Don't answer it. I want you to think about this. You to think about this in your mind. If you haven't, if you aren't, then I want to tell you, you're convinced in your mind that He's not coming next week. And that He's not coming tonight. Oh, but let me drop another thought in your mind. Well, let's see. Probably got some Bible mathematicians in the house. Let's see. Okay, now. Well, let's see now. He's got... This has to be fulfilled. That has to be fulfilled. That hasn't happened. I haven't seen that man of perdition, the son of perdition, in the temple, setting himself up as God, calling himself God. Haven't seen that happen yet. I haven't seen this happen. This hasn't happened. That hadn't happened. So that means he can't come tonight. Well, let's see. The temple is ready to be built, but it's not being built. They do have the red heifer, but it's not ready. They're not ready for sacrifice yet. That's not in line. This is not in line. That's not in line. This is not in line. Nope, he can't come this week. You laugh. We laugh at that. But I'm going to tell you, that's how man thinks. Come on now. Where's my cricket when I need him? It's awful quiet in here for a Pentecostal church tonight. Church, I'm here to stomp on some feet tonight, including mine. I want to tell you right now, I want everybody under the sound of my voice to make it through those gates. And I want to tell you something you're probably not considering tonight. But what if you pulled out of this parking lot and somebody hit you with no headlights on and broadsided you and drove you halfway down that road and took your life from you? I want to tell you right now, the Bible says, no man knoweth the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And everybody considers that to be the rapture. But I've got news for you. When you cross over from this dispensation into the next dispensation, church, whether it is by the trumpet sound or by the way of the grave, the Lord has come for you. How many people are burning in hell tonight because they gambled? They gambled that they knew. Because they took a chance. Because they took a chance. I've got another day. Because they let the enemy talk them out of coming to that altar call. You know, I give altar calls and have for many years. And I can see it. I can see God pulling and tugging and dealing with the heart and saying, step out. Step out. And I can see people battling with that in their mind. And I can see the fight going on. I can see the devil trying to tell them, wait till next week. Wait till next time. Not tonight. Next time. Next week. I want to tell you a story. This will help to bring it down to... This will help to bring it home to you. They had a staff meeting in hell. This is just a scenario. Had a staff meeting in hell, and the devil had all his angels there and his army. And he had some new recruits up on the front row. And he told all the devils there, he said, there's too many people turning to Jesus. And we're not leaving here tonight until somebody comes up with a way to stop this. Well, just no time had passed at all, and one of the new recruits jumped right up and he said, I got it. The devil said, let's hear it. He said, that's just telling me it ain't real. The devil said, no, sit down. Never work. They know he's real. Too many people know he's real. Further back, a more seasoned veteran jumped up, devil, and he said, I believe I got it. The devil said, let's hear it. He said, let's tell him he's dead. Let's just tell him when he died on that cross, he never came back alive. Devil said, sit down, won't work. Too many people have seen him come off that cross. Too many people saw him come out of that tomb. Too many people saw him. Too many people know he's alive. Know he's real. He's going to have to do better than that. So they sat there for a little while longer, and directly one of the generals in the back stood up. And he said, I believe I've got the solution. And the devil said, well, all right. What is it? He said, let's just convince them they got plenty of time. The devil thought a minute. He said, yep, that's the ticket. Get to work. I want to tell you tonight, the furthest thing from your mind, most likely, is that you're not going to be here tomorrow. We don't walk through this life thinking about dying. We don't walk through this life thinking about that we're not going to be here tomorrow. But how many people went to work in the Twin Towers that day? Making plans for what they're going to do next weekend. Making plans for supper that night. Making plans for little Jimmy and little Johnny and little Sally and little Susie. How many of them parents that left going to work that day in those towers didn't bother the wife because she was sleeping and he didn't want to wake her up? How many of them were skiing on the lake the Sunday before that instead of being in the house of God? How many of them would have done something different had they only known? The Bible said, if the thief had known at what hour, the strong man of the house had known what hour the thief would break through and steal, then he would not have suffered his house to be broken up. But I'm here to tell you tonight, church, he's coming. He's coming. And whether it's by way of the grave or the trumpet sound, it's going to happen soon. But what if it's by way of the grave? We don't like to think about that. Nobody likes to think about dying. But what if? See, this is not one of those scenarios you can go back and do over. This is not one of those scenarios that you'll ever recover from. I want you to look at Matthew 24 with me for just a moment. Matthew chapter 24. Verse 48. The Bible says, but and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him in sunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Turn with me now to Luke 12. Luke 12. I just want to start in verse 13 right there. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. Listen very carefully to this, church. Y'all listening? For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, talking about this man who had the ground that brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I know somebody personally, very close to me, that is laying up treasures on this earth right now. They're building a future like they're going to be here forever. And they're dedicating the Lord's time to it, all of their time to it, and they are building it with the greatest of zeal. They are laying up treasures on this earth. Let's look what the Bible says next. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Church, I want to tell you right now, You may be able to match every dollar that's ever slid through the hand of Donald Trump. But what good is it going to do you if the Lord requires your soul tonight? What good would your life? I just want to ask you tonight. If the Lord returned today, what would your life say to Him? What would your life say to Jesus today? If your lights went out today, what would you say to the Lord standing before Him? Would you be making excuses? Would you be ready? You know, in the Old Testament, let's look at that. In the Old Testament, they did the same thing. They said the same thing. Turn with me to Ezekiel 12. Ezekiel 12. I'm going to go on for sake of time. The Bible says in verse 22, son of man, what is that proverb that ye have in the land of Israel, saying, the days are prolonged and every vision faileth? They were saying the same thing here. They had a proverb in Israel. And the Lord said, what is this proverb that I'm hearing about? That the days are prolonged and every vision faileth. Tell them therefore, the Lord told Ezekiel, he said, tell them therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease. And they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, the days are at hand. Church, I'm telling you right now, the days are at hand. And the effect of every vision. Now listen carefully what he was telling them here. For there shall be no more any vain vision, nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord. I will speak and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass, and it shall be no more prolonged. He's telling them, listen, no more is it going to be. You know what? I tell you right now, church, if God brought swift justice, we'd have a whole lot better country we'd be living in right now, I tell you that. You know, because the American justice system is like it is, we got a bunch of thieving people, but you go over in the Middle East, they don't have that problem. Why you reckon that is? Because they cut your hand off over there, and they'll make the Americans watch it if you're anywhere around it. If there's any Americans around and they catch a thief and they're getting ready to cut his hand off in public, they'll make the Americans, they'll at gunpoint make Americans watch it. Because they want you to know we don't play that in this country. And they will cut that hand off and stick it in a fire right there in front of you and make you watch it. They want you to know we don't have that corruption over here. And so, if we had justice like that, we'd probably have a whole lot less problems in this country. But because we have all the appeal systems and the court failures and all that, people get away with things over here that they don't in other places. The Bible says, I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I will speak shall come to pass, and shall no longer be prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word, and will perform it, saith the Lord God. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, they are the house of Israel. The vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and prophesieth of the times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged anymore, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for no man knoweth what another day may bring. Church, the main part of this message tonight was to be in a different direction. But before I got to it, before I got to it, the Lord began to bring all these other scriptures. And so I brought this message in a different direction. I want to tell you, the Lord's speaking to somebody here tonight. Could be me. I don't know. But I want to ask you another question. And I'm going to close here shortly. I know some of you have a long way to go. I really appreciate y'all coming tonight. Really, thank you so much for coming. I won't keep you much longer. But I don't want to rush the Lord either. Now listen. How many of you truly know how much you mean to the Lord? I mean, I don't need you to answer the question, but I just want you to contemplate that. I want you to ponder that in your mind for just a moment. Do you really know how much you mean to Jesus? Do you really know how valuable that you are? Do you really know? I mean, I know sometimes we think, well, you know, I mean, if you're thinking in the right with the right heart, and I believe that everybody in this house is tonight, you know, I know sometimes we think, you know, Lord, I mean, you know, I'm not that much. I mean, God, you know, I mean, there's so many more people out there more qualified than me, and so many more people, God, that are just such, seem to be so much greater serving you, Lord, in every way. I mean, I'm not that important. But you know what? God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for you. He has designed you. He formed you in the womb for a plan. He had a plan for your life. He designed you the way you are to fit in a plan that He has designed for you. And until you get in that plan, it's not getting done. Because no one else can fit in that plan. You are custom designed with God's plan in mind. Church, it's no strange thing that you're in this house tonight. It's no strange thing that you're in this church. It's no strange thing that you're hearing this word tonight. God's talking to you. God's speaking to you tonight. If there's ever a time, if there's ever been a time, brother, would you shut this thing off? I normally want this fan on, and I am a little hot, but I sure don't need to get any sicker than I am. Church, I want you to stop long enough to really think tonight. I'm telling you, God's calling you to attention. God is saying, it's enough. It's time. Listen, church, I've said it before and I'm going to say it again. Playtime is over. I don't mean that ugly. By any means, y'all know my heart. I'm not an ugly person. I don't mean that ugly in any way. I'm talking to me too. When I preach it to you, it's because the Lord's already preached it to me. I'm proud of this church and I'm proud of this people. And I'm proud of what I see God doing. But I want to tell you, we can do more. Hey, I'm talking to me too. I need to be doing more. I can do more, and I need to be doing more. And Lord, I'm going to do more. But our prayer needs to be, Lord, firstly, it needs to be, forgive me, Lord, for any areas I've been lacking in. Lord, if you'll just show me what to do. Lord, just show me how to be effective. Lord, forgive me for my shortcomings and help me, God, to help me to line up. There's people waiting on you. Somebody needs to hear from you. Well, who am I, preacher? Who am I that I should go? Let me tell you something. God made you. Don't you ever underestimate what God does. Don't ever underestimate what God has done by creating you. The Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Don't sell God short. To put yourself down is to put Him down. He's one who created you. He knows your abilities. He knows what you can and cannot do. And God ain't going to put no more on you than you can do. But if you'll open yourself up to the will of God, I'm telling you, God's fixing to show you things you've never seen before. You are so fortunate to be alive in such an hour as this. Now, true enough, the Bible says that perilous times shall come and they are on the way. I tell you, if you have any way of being here tomorrow night for this enlightenment night tomorrow night, I tell you, you don't want to miss it. Boy, there's some really powerful stuff going on in the government and all that. We're going to be seeing a lot of that tomorrow night about the Bilderbergs and a lot of stuff. And it's probably the best one we've had so far. But I'll tell you, church, though perilous times are on the way, we know that because that's the Bible. Though we can see it on the horizon. Can everybody see it? Can you see it coming? But you know, though that's true, what an awesome thing that God... Well, it's a lot to think about. Man, when you think, who's the two most important groups to Jesus? Stop and think about it. No. Different direction. Good answer, but a different direction. The ones that started it and the ones that's bringing it home, praise God. Boy, you remember how blessed the apostles was. Praise God, Paul and Peter, James and John. Praise God, you remember how, you remember how that, man, the power of God was so mightily upon them because God gave them a job to do. He told them to build His church, and I mean, He gave them the anointing. Praise God, the power of the Holy Ghost was on them, and they began to move, and they began to shake the very earth. Praise God, the Bible says they shook the earth. Now, we're the ones God's entrusting to bring it home. We are the ones that's going to cross the finish line with this message. That's why it says apostolic on that out there, on that sign out there. Even when I changed the name, and it's Change of Life, Praise and Worship Center is the name of my ministry, Change of Life Ministries. But it's still the Pentecostal experience and the apostolic way. Praise God. I stick with that unadulterated word of God right there. I still preach the same thing, praise God, that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. I still preach the same thing that's written in that word, praise God. I don't stray to the right nor to the left. I don't take away nor add to the word of God in any way. I preach it just like Jesus gave it to him, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just like the Holy Ghost inspired it to be written, praise God. And I preach it right down the pike, just like God intended it. Hallelujah. And that's the way I'm going to cross that finish line. I'm going to cross the finish line, I'm telling you right now. Whether I go by the way of the grave or whether I go by the trumpet sound, praise God, and the Lord raptures me home, I'm going to cross that finish line. There's plenty of people that's gone on before me. Praise God, I'm not going to come in first. Oh, but I'm going to come in. I'm telling you right now, I'm crossing that finish line. Church, I've come too far to turn back now. Hallelujah. And I know, praise God, from whence my blessings have come. And I'm going to be there to thank Him in person. Praise God. I'm going to be there to wrap my arms around Him and thank Him, praise God, for all He's done for me. Hallelujah. I'm not going to let Him down. I know from time to time I may trip and fall, but praise God, the Lord has surrounded me with enough good people. And He keeps Himself, He keeps me close to Him. He picks me up and encourages me to go on another mile. Praise God. Church, you're not going to walk through this life and never fall. You're going to make mistakes. But you know, that's why we need a good family of God. That's why we need a good walk with the Lord. Praise God. God is trying to wake us up tonight. He's trying to get our attention and say, hey, y'all need to be on the lookout. I'm coming. I'm coming. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. I'm on the way. Let's tighten it up just a little bit. I'm coming. For so many years, people have been lulled to sleep, saying, my master delayeth his coming. The master delayeth his coming. Some of you young folks, son, I've heard some good things about you, and you know I like you already anyway. I just love you anyhow. You're just part of my family already, but I want to tell you, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you, boy. I've told lots of fellows about you, and we pray for you. Praise God. I want you to know something, son. The devil has desired to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you. Praise God. That's what Jesus told Peter, and I pray for you because I've been in your shoes. I've been your age, and I know the pressure that's on you. But I want to tell you right now, shine on. Shine on, little brother. You shine on for Jesus. And you watch God. You watch God. Now I'm going to tell you, it takes a real man to serve Jesus in this day and time. Don't you ever let nobody tell you different. Son, it takes a real man to stand up for Jesus. Praise God. That's a real man. Praise the Lord. And I'm proud of you and your family's proud of you. Praise God. And sister, I'm really proud to meet you. Hadn't really formally met you yet, but I've heard a lot about you from this lady right here. All of it good, and we're so glad to finally meet you. Praise God. Good to have you with us. I know it's hard sometimes to imagine things coming to an end. But I'll tell you, it's coming. Even so, Lord, come quickly. I tell you, there ain't going to be nothing like it. Your mind can't comprehend it, what it's going to be like to be with Him forever. And I believe everyone in the sound of my voice is going to be there. I believe it. I believe it. I believe God had you here tonight to hear this message. Now I want to tell you, when you go home and go your separate ways, I want you to consider. I want you to seriously consider everything I've said tonight. I want you to get in that Bible and I want you to start reading and meditating on it. And I want you to ask God to just take you and walk you through His Word and to speak to you in that Word. And when God shows you something in the Word, don't be trying to figure out whether it's the devil or God. When God starts leading you through His Word, you follow the Lord in that Word. Praise God. Start getting them feet moving for the Lord. God's got a job for you. You're not going to be happy from this point forward till you get in it. Now, I'm going to just tell you right now. The Bible said, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I hate it for you. I hate it that I got you stirred up tonight. But now that you know, God's expecting you to get busy. Y'all better get busy. Because God ain't going to let you rest till you do. You're going to feel a little uncomfortable until you're walking in the will of God. And that's God's perfect plan. We're supposed to feel uncomfortable if we're not living for Him. If we're not lining up in that perfect will. He makes me very uncomfortable when I step a little to the right. I step a little to the left. He makes me very uncomfortable. And that's a good thing. He whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Stand with me tonight. Praise the Lord.